Sober on Purpose is the podcast that takes you beyond clean to fulfilling your dreams. Other programs get you sober. We ask, what's next? Come thrive with us.
Hello, Sober on Purpose family. I have another fabulous guest for you, which will change your life. Emotional detox. So Sherry Ann Boyle is going to, one, explain to us what that exactly is, but her book, Emotional Detox, has sold over 50,000 copies. You can find it on the shelves at Barnes & Noble. She's even created a certification program for coaches helping other people do emotional detox. She's here to talk to us about anxiety, about the things that the family goes through as they are dealing with the addicted loved one, how to manage those feelings. And as she just shared with me, she's one of us. She comes from that background. She's got some intimate understanding of that. So we're going to have a great conversation. So Sherry Ann, welcome, and fill in the gaps on the bio. What would you like to share with families who are supporting folks in recovery?
Well, thank you so much for having me. Oh boy. You know, what would I like to share? Well, I guess I'll share my motto, and my motto is, your emotions matter, processing them matters more. And all of the emotions matter. Your emotions as a supporter of someone going through addiction, they absolutely matter. And I think sometimes we get a little left out in the dust. The person who's going through the situation, of course, their emotions matter. Everybody's emotions matter. But I always say processing them matters more. And that's what emotional detox is all about, because many of us were never taught how to do that. I wasn't taught how to do that. And I think particularly in the addiction community, we really learn how to shove our emotions under the rug and minimize, or, you know, we're very often, as you know, and your audience knows, we're so much in crisis management, and we're always waiting for the other shoe to fall off the foot, you know? And it's, so you get in this sort of state where you never really relax, right? You got your guard up and you worry, you know, you worry, is this going to be the day where either my loved one's going to have a breakthrough, or is it going to get worse? Right. And that what if, living in that space of uncertainty is extremely difficult and extremely damaging to, and so on so many levels, emotionally, physically, and fractures families, because people get tired, they get exhausted. And after a while, they're like, I can't do this anymore. And then it's a sad day, because then you see the beginnings of a family moving apart rather than coming together.
When you're, I'm going to toss you a hard one, because this is, I think, really hard. When you're a child growing up in a family, and now you're an adult with a family of your own, but in your family, you were told, we don't get angry. We don't cry. And we certainly don't do this where the neighbors can see it. How do you begin in an emotional detox to unbundle those messages?
Well, that's exactly what the purpose of an emotional detox is. So the purpose of emotional detox is, I call those reactions. So reactions are the ways that people cope, and they cope in both unhealthy, many times unhealthy ways. Reactions are, how I define it in emotional detox, is how we make the uncomfortable comfortable. It's uncomfortable to show what's going on in your family. It's a very, very uncomfortable. It feels very vulnerable. And so we cover it up. We set these rules, you know, whether they're spoken or unspoken, you just kind of know. And then there's, of course, a lot of modeling going on. And so an emotional detox, again, the purpose is, well, not to get rid of your emotions. I want to be clear about that. We don't get rid of emotions. What we're removing are reactions. And reactions are things like minimizing, blaming, ignoring, controlling, you know, what you just, the example that you gave, like, we don't show anger, is a control thing. It's a management system, and that's what we're clearing.
And here's what I've seen with the folks I've worked with is they have a management system. They have one, and especially in a substance abuse disorder family, it is often a secret management system of you have to have the code book to know what's going on. So they have a management system. Until that management system begins to break down, there's the showing to the outside world that everything's okay. But what is happening internally is either the wife, the mother, the sister, whoever, it's normally the woman, is taking care of everything for everybody, and she's totally depleted. When you get a client who is totally depleted, can't tell happy, sad, mad, because they have really just numbed out, how do you begin to work with them?
Well, I always say you always begin as closest to the now as you can, because there's so much there, right? There's so much history. There's so many reminders. There's so many things that have been left unsaid, things that haven't even been talked about. There's so many questions that have not been asked or answers that have not been given, that it can be scary and overwhelming to start to lift up what's underneath all of that. So I find, and that's what I teach people to do in emotional detox, and the system that I teach is called CLEANSE. It's an acronym. So emotional detox is a foundation based on all your emotions are good so long as they're processed, meaning they all have value, even the fear, even the anxiety, even the doubt, all have value as long as they're processed. And we're not looking to get rid of your emotions. We're looking to get to them. And so with a cleanse, what I teach people, go as close to the now as you possibly can. So you might not hit the main thing, and that's okay, because they're all connected. Begin where it feels right for you. So it might be a very, very simple cleanse that you do, like perhaps somebody just cut you off in traffic, or somebody sent you a negative text. I would start with those small little examples rather than trying to go hit the family, I always say, is the final exam. don't start with the final exam, right? Do a few quizzes before you get there. So that would be just this daily stuff where we're not taking a second to process what we feel. And by the way, processing isn't always about let me process the anger, the fear, all of that stuff. There's good emotions too that we don't take, positive emotions that we don't take time to process, successes, victories, where we're like, oh, wow, yay. Okay, let's move on to the next thing. Those are equally important to take time to really digest the energy of those emotions.
So with this woman that I'm thinking about, she's not processing any emotions because she's so outward focused on the other. What are her risks when she's only being outward focused? What are her health risks? What's her emotional risks? Mm-hmm. What's going on for her when she's not processing emotions?
Well, she's rerunning reactivity. Her brain is rerunning those neurocircuitry. You're basically training your brain to stay in the fight, flight, or freeze or freak out response. And over time, we know what that's going to do to the body. We know that emotions that don't get processed, that affects your inflammation in the body, which we know is very often the root cause of mental and physical imbalances in the body. It's going to affect her breathing. It's going to affect her circulation. It's also going to affect her cellular turnover. So it's pretty significant. It's really, you know, we process here and there, maybe by accident. You have those moments. You know, those heart moments where you're like, oh my gosh, I feel, even sometimes after a cry, people will say, I feel a little bit relieved. I feel like, okay, I feel like I can get up and get going again. And they've had like a little taste of emotional processing. But I always say that's just a little taste. That's not the whole kit and caboodle. You got to dive in a little bit more and really acknowledge what's going on. So, you know, living in this situation or living with this, you know, and when I don't know what's going to happen, that makes me feel, you know, and these things need to be worked with. And the way Cleanse teaches it is through a lot of mindfulness, a lot of, I teach people breathing. And again, this system is in the form of Cleanse, which is an acronym from the C, and you follow it right down to the E. And I've written 3 emotional detox books. The third one, Emotional Detox Now, has 135 cleanses in it. So I just put in every scenario you could possibly face. Here's how it works, you know? So you get that system. It's like riding a bike. You want to get that practice in.
So this, you know, you just tripwired for me. Cleanse, we always think of food and body and those types of things. One of the reasons that we may be turning to food, putting on weight, doing all those things when we're supporting someone who is in crisis, who is dealing with addiction, who is in recovery, is that emotional eating piece that goes with it. So I really liked how you talked about, start with something small. Maybe you got a mean text. Maybe you got something in the mail you didn't want to deal with from the IRS. Start with something small. Tell us how the family is the final exam. Where examples in your clients have you seen that? Because that's fantastic.
I think you work up to that. You get your cleanse, you get comfortable, because we need to feel safe in the body, because we don't feel safe. It doesn't feel safe to feel. A lot of people have this mindset that feeling's going to make me feel worse, that I'm going to have to relive everything, that I'm not going to be able to handle everything that I'm doing. I can't take time to feel, because then I'll be a mess. And then how the heck is anything else going to get done if I go down, right? You mentioned the woman, the female taking on a lot of the, and I've been there. I've been there in my family of origin. I've been there with friends and family and trying to assist. And I will tell you, it wasn't until I started processing my own emotions that I saw improvement. And I know it's crazy to think, you're like, how's that going to change anything? But it does. There is something that shifts. Otherwise, you do kind of participate in it. You know, it's like, and I hate to use the word enabling, but I know I've been an enabler in the past in terms of trying to hold everything together, tiptoe around it, or just keep the peace. And it literally, like you said, it will only last so long. And I say, don't be a cope addict, right? COPE. Don't be a cope addict, because coping isn't feeling. Coping's managing. And when coping's great if for the very short term, like when you're in public and you have to cope with something that's uncomfortable or something's going on. But once you leave that situation, you've got to go into emotional processing. I don't know if I answered your question though. Did I answer it?
You did, but you brought up another scenario, which I find really interesting, is I noticed this with keeping depressed people in my life, was if I kept enough depressed people in my life, then I looked okay, right? Because they're coping less well than I do. But if your role is to be the savior of the family, your role is to be the hero of the family, I would think you'd want to just keep coping. Because if you dealt with the emotions, then you'd have to set boundaries. So what is dealing with the emotions allow you to do, allow you to change when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired?
Yeah, I think that you've got to, what can help is give yourself a little space. So I think sometimes we put like timelines on things, and give yourself, like, for example, when at one point in my life, when I was in a really crisis situation emotionally, and you really do have a choice at those times. You can either bury, which would be something like emotional eating, right? Mm-hmm. You can bury what you feel, or you can choose to feel what you feel. And I chose to feel because I knew the research on it. I knew that if I didn't feel what I would be doing, it's like self-sabotage, quite frankly. Right. And so I said, okay, I'm going to feel, but I'm not really sure how to do that. And that's where cleanse sort of came to be, but it can help. But the other thing I said to myself that I think can help is I said, you know what? I'm going to give myself a year. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say, okay, I'm going to do it tomorrow. It's like dieting, you know, people do that. Okay. Tomorrow I'm going to start a new leaf. Can you imagine if you said, okay, I'm going to give myself this whole year to start fresh. How does that feel? I mean, what's the difference? It's like, don't put such restrictions on yourself, because then we lean into perfection. Then we lean into expectations. Then it's like this pressure. You already have enough pressure. You're dealing with addiction. So give yourself, I said, okay, I'm going to give myself an entire, I actually set a date, and here's what else I did. So this is called self-love and self-compassion. I said, okay, should that year come up and I'm still not ready, I'm going to give myself more time.
Wow.
So I'm going to grace myself with permission to move the timeline and move it out. So what did I give myself a year? Gave myself a year to feel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give myself this. This is my year where my number one priority is to focus on feeling. And I know that's tough because we're in this management thing, and I've been there way too many times to even I care to share. But when you start to put yourself first in that way, I'm going to feel, and I'm going to trust that I'm going to have faith. This is where your faith comes in, that, and I was just guided. It was like a crossroad. Like the road I'd been on had not worked so many times. You know, my teacher always said, you do it till you don't.
Right. And it's like the addiction works until it doesn't.
Yeah.
Like the cope addict, it works until it doesn't, until you begin to disintegrate, your health disintegrates, you begin to just fall apart and you're not really you anymore. How did you deal with, because you're going to walk into a year of feeling, which means there's going to be scary feelings. There's going to be feelings you hadn't felt before. There's going to be feelings that are really uncomfortable. Yes, there's going to be joy and happy, and sometimes we're afraid of those, because if I feel too happy, am I going to come down? How did you deal with all the fear?
Well, that's cleanse. Cleanse was my savior. Cleanse was my structure. And it didn't always look perfect. Cleanse starts, the very first step of cleanse, which is called clear reactivity. That's what it stands for. The very first step, the intention behind that step is to help you learn how to take yourself out of fight or flight. So it's actually, I know in our mind, we're thinking, okay, I'm going to feel, okay. And then you brace yourself.
Yeah. Kind of like being on a roller coaster, like, oh,
like I'm just gonna do it, right? But that's not the way cleanse works. You're going to be prepared. So the first three steps prepare you very gently. It's a very compact, and I sat and this was where my faith came in, and I just mm-hmm. turned to God, and I turned to and I just said, tell me how to do this. Cause I know the research. I know why this is important. I'd studied enough of the research, but I don't know how to do it. And that's where I really sat in prayer and meditation. And it took about 8 months, but the cleanse came through. So it's clear reactivity is basically learning how to get yourself out of fight or flight. That's so important. Because mm-hmm. no, you won't feel anything if you're in fight or flight. You'll resist it. You'll put stories around it. You'll make too much meaning out of it. You'll give it feel like it is bigger than you. And then the second step is, okay, once you're out of fight or flight, you've got the L, which is look inward. Now I teach people how to identify feeling without rerunning stories. And then it goes through the rest and you go all the way to the end. All seven steps become one 10-minute process.
One 10-minute process?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's so much easier than trying to decide what to eat for this meal and that meal and those meals.
No, it's one 10-minute process. And you're just consistent. I mean, I cleanse online every week with people. If people want to hop in and give it a whirl and they want to be guided, that's what I do once a week with my members, is I guide them through so they feel that container. And it's private and all that stuff. So, but yeah, it's 10 minutes.
I'm going to guess you're here because you have a loved one who is either in full-blown addiction or is looking for recovery. You're not here just to talk about chickens, which we could talk about chickens, but you're not here for that. You're here because you're at possibly where I was 12 years ago. You're surfing the internet looking for hope, looking for help, looking for a way to maintain this beloved family, this beloved marriage, this lovely child. You are looking for something. Well, stop. Stop looking. At Tanya Joya Coaching, we realize that the family is not hopeless, is not helpless, and is not powerless to help the addicted loved one get well. We fully realize that you have been doing everything for everybody and you're exhausted, even if you don't have 400 chickens. We completely understand that while this is no laughing matter, you need a little levity, you need a little joy, you need a little hope in your life. So look no further. We have an Arise from Addiction Facebook group, or if you want to talk to me immediately and say, look, I just need help, where I was 12 years ago, surfing the internet at 3 and 4 in the morning going, I just need somebody who can tell me a story of hope. I want you to join the Rise Above Addiction Facebook group. And then I want you to reach out to hello@tanyajoya.com. It's all in the notes below. You can do this. You can make extraordinary changes. But what I understand is you're waiting. You're waiting for them to fix themselves when you can be part of the solution. So stop waiting. Become the cherished wife, not the nagging wife. Make sure that you check into our Facebook group at Arise from Addiction on Facebook. We'll look forward to seeing you there. Yeah. And so we were talking about that before. Sherri-Ann has a private membership group on her website and we'll link all that below. So this would be a real gift. If somebody wanted to hop in and do 10 minutes of cleansing with you, they could get an idea of how to do it. I mean, you can always buy the book, but to have you right there and do that, because Sherri-Ann also coaches. But let me go back to something that you said. You get caught in your own story and then you begin to believe it's bigger than you. And I would say you begin to believe it's bigger than God. When you begin to believe it's bigger than God, then where do you go? Right? Yeah. So how do you break that? Break is probably not the right word. How do you restructure that story? How do you begin to restructure that story?
Well, that's what we're cleansing, the stories, the narratives. That's what we're going to put in those cleanses. When I tell myself this story, it makes me feel. I will tell you, that's where step E, the third step, is going to come in. And it's going to teach you how to start to release some of that. That's where the A in the cleanse is about. Now we're activating. Now we're starting to imagine a new way of life. You know, visualizations are very, very powerful. We know that. We know that they have the power to change the brain. They work on a subconscious level. So we're going through that process right along of transforming that. And then we're in that surrender, which is the S, and then we're in that E. So we sort of land in that I am space, which, as you know, I am is written all over the Bible, right? The I am. Mm-hmm. Consciousness and the I am. And I will, through emotional processing, if this helps any of your listeners, is I've gotten a closer relationship with God. So it's helped me to really, because I feel the presence more because I'm not numbing, because I'm not avoiding. And so in many ways, it's made it so much stronger.
Mm. I'm still batting around the term cope addict. I love that because that it's a fantastic term because often what we see is people keep bringing, you're like, well, okay, you're losing your house and now you're losing your car and your insurance is going and your relationship is blowing up. People keep bringing that into their lives because the only thing they know to do is to keep coping. So that striving piece is still in there. So when you're looking, I know you work with individuals, when you're looking at a family dynamic, when that individual changes, what have you seen happening in the family? What have they reported back to you? They're like, Sherrianne, I got to tell you, I did this instead of that. And it was fantastic.
I think that there's a stability that comes from it. And I think that when people aren't feeling it, you could almost cut a knife through the tension. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so what you're going to do when one person decides to, I'm going to start feeling being more present, you're going to start to bring that intensity down a little bit. And very often people with addiction, what I have learned in working with that, tend to be very intuitive people. Yeah. They tend to feel things and then they turn to addiction because they don't know how to handle it. So it does kind of give you also an empathy. Once you learn yourself, you have more empathy for each other. I mean, I've got 3 daughters. They're all super feelers. We've had to do things very differently in our home. I have a homeschooler. We've just really had to work and with what, you know, who they are as people. And so, so I understand that. So when it ripples out, I think there's a respect and there, what happens is some of that conditioning loosens, like it has to look this way, or it has to be this way. And that measurement of comparing yourself to other families starts to fade away. Cause there's a lot of that, like that, I don't want people to know they're together, we're not kind of thing. And so you let that healing come in. And I think what happens is you see this confidence that can grow with your children. But they, you know, so much, I was a school psychologist. I have a lot of history with families. And I think that we have to remember that most of what children learn, they actually observe.
Yes, it's not said, it's what's unsaid, isn't it? So something just came to me, and you may say, Tanya, you're way off base. If you've got one parent who, you know, Gabor Mate, his latest work on addiction, I think is forefront. And he says, the opposite of addiction is not sobriety, it's connection. Mm-hmm. Sobriety needs to be there, but connection is really the opposite.
Yeah.
But if you've got one parent who is in so much pain that they are turning to whatever their ism is, they're not there for the kids, right? Because they can't be. And then you've got another parent who is coping with what's going on over here and managing everything that's going on. They're not there for the kids either. They're doing the coping addict. So if the coping person begins to get present, check me on this. If the coping person begins to get present, then the kids at least have one person who is present for him. That to me, that was the reason I did it through EMDR, but that was the reason why I began to do the emotional detox, why I began to get in connection with my emotions, because I had a therapist say to me, your house is not safe enough for your children to do the deep work they need to do. And I went, oh, can you stick a knife in my heart a little bit more, maybe turn it a little bit? So am I on track with why this would be so important for the people who are supporting loved ones, is that that feeling piece, you said it earlier, can model for the rest of the family the things that need to change?
Yes. I think also getting support, getting therapy, So I always say the cleanse is a great supplement. I always say cleanse is a method, not a session. That's my motto.
Love it. Love it.
So it's a method that you can use to help yourself learn how to feel. It's not a session in terms of, you know, really helping you to sort of untangle that. So sometimes you might need, it depends the level of intensity, the level of support needs to increase in the home. And anyone who is involved who can provide some of that support for that child, you know, it doesn't, if they can spend some time with them or ask them how they feel or give them an opportunity to even just have a moment to go outside and process, you know, their emotions, even if it's through play, you know, mm-hmm. Children are very different, but yes, role modeling, what I do every morning, it's the first thing I do is, well, first I get my coffee, let's be real. Then I then I sit down and I have a space in my house and I don't, you know, I have a house where people are walking by and this and that. And I cleanse first thing. And my 15-year-old walks by me almost every single morning. And I do my 10-minute cleanse. She observes me all the time. She's mm-hmm. so used to it, right? So she sees how important emotions are to me. She knows how much I value them and care about them and respect emotions. And I think that's the messaging you want to think about. It's not mm-hmm. about fixing you. It's about what message am I sending my children about emotions mm-hmm. when I don't give myself a second to feel.
Right. Because it is sometimes too scary, too painful. But what you're talking about is starting with the little and moving yeah. deeper and deeper and deeper as you build tolerance. I hated that word when my therapist would say it to me. I'm like, I don't want tolerance for this, but tolerance for my behaviors, for their behaviors, gave me the opportunity to model something different. And in my own story, my mom got up early. She spent her time with God every day. Even when she was traveling, she'd find a space. That's now what I do because it was modeled for me. And I saw how it brought her into a space where she could show up as the person she wanted to. So when you do your cleanse, your 15-year-old walks by, she's like, ugh, it's just mom. how is that helping you show up as the person you want to be for that day, for that hour?
So I might find a teachable moment at some point where maybe I'm fired up about something triggered me, right? So a lot of what we're cleansing are triggers. You get triggered and that you know what a trigger is. You get very often triggers are memories, unconscious memories that are, and sometimes they're memories of unprocessed emotions. So you know a trigger because you tend to go to the same emotion, like anger or frustration. Those are big trigger ones that people just revisit. And if you're revisiting something, you've got something to cleanse there. There's something that's coming up to be felt. So what I'll do is she'll see me do the cleanse. And then if say I get triggered and we're in the car, I'll say out loud, you know, this is something I definitely need to take a moment to cleanse today.
And then does she back off? Because you know how teenagers are.
Yeah. She's so used to me. She's so great. I honestly, she's my homeschooler. She's like a whole, we do a lot of this stuff. We go out in nature. I cleanse with the trees. I mean, we'll go for a walk and I'll say, okay, I'm going to do my cleanse. You do your thing. I do my thing. And she doesn't roll her eyes. She can talk, right? She's pretty good. She's probably going to be better than me someday at teaching all this because it's in her feelings. We talk about emotions all the time, feeling, avoiding, awarenesses, you know, we're always having those deeper conversations, but it really comes, you know, I'll say I'm in a trigger right now. This person upset me. I need to take a moment to cleanse this. Sometimes I'll say the cleanse out loud in the car driving.
So you've created all this language, Sherrianne, that's marvelous. You've created all that language. So the boys have been with us. I have two teenage boys right now. They've been with us through all this. We did the Betty Ford Children's Program when they were 3 and 5. We reintegrated that. We have language to talk about, not enough feeling language, but we have language to talk around addiction, what's going on, all those things. That's been a real gift. And what you just said is your daughter would understand triggers. She would understand cleanse. She would understand, I need a moment. And yeah. She wouldn't think, I've seen this in families, I'm sure you have too. She wouldn't think she's in trouble, or she wouldn't think she's responsible for it. You know, because
she knows I'm taking responsibility for my own feelings. So what that does is lets her off the hook. She doesn't have to fix or manage my emotions, because that's a lot of times what happens. I did it with my mom when I grew up with addiction. I was the therapist.
Yes. Yes. Or the hero. There's always that role of we can't tell anybody all the secrets that are going on at home. So I need to be the straight A student, the football star, the this, that, and the other. We've really tried to take that off our kids and say, no, what we learned was you need to be a kid. So you have feelings as a kid. You're not responsible for this. You know, there were times where I was just a mess and crying. And I would say, no, mommy has adult friends that help her. Jesus is here with mommy. You know, a hug would be nice, but you need to go on and do what you do as a kiddo. And so you're providing all that language in there so that I have sons, so that when they get with their wives, their wife said, they say some color that my boys don't have in their crayon box of emotions. They say, like, I'm feeling chartreuse and that really hurts like this. And I'm upset about this. The boys are able to go, okay, let me kind of bring my color in and you bring your color in and let's develop some language to do it. That really makes me excited, Sherrianne, that language piece.
Well, I love what you're doing. I love what you're doing and the way you're really honing in, because there's not a lot of support. I didn't have support, you know, for the family members, you know, just, I know it's getting late, but Energy in Action, which has the cleanse in it, which is my latest book, is all about color.
Nice. That's fantastic.
So it teaches you how to, it's a vibration. So it's called raise. What I added in that book and I was guided was light, right? So light is always associated with God, with something higher. And so that book incorporates how to connect to the creator of your understanding in your cleanses. It takes it to another level.
So these colors and light help you even identify more.
Well, let me give you an example, because you have,
please.
Yeah. I was working with a young man once, I think he was about 15. And I said to him, you know, how does that make you feel? And he's looks up and down all around. I said, the feelings aren't in your head, buddy. They're not up there. Mm-hmm. And he didn't know how to answer how it made him feel. I said, okay, let me ask you this. Can you imagine the color green? Yep. Do you see it right now? Yep. How's it make you feel? Calm. Get
great.
That? That's how
that's
this
works. Awesome.
I know. So Energy in Action. It's going to bring a whole different way to cleanse. So now you're cleansing, with light. Now he's got it. And I'm like, okay, now you're feeling, look where your eyes are. They're not up. They're not sideways. They're not down looking at the floor.
They're
level, because they're turning inward.
That would be excellent, because that's what happens in substance abuse families is you're told that what is happening is not really what's happening, and that your feelings are not valid. And that if you continue with those feelings, there may be consequences, punishment, or excommunication, right? It can get really high. So when you get out of that family of origin and you run into somebody who does have feeling words, you're like, I don't know what that means. Uh-huh. I don't know what home really means, because mine was so crazy. That's not the home I want to create. Wow. That is, Sherrianne, that is super
powerful. Yeah. Well, I, you know, after Mass, I was like, God, why didn't you tell me this, you know, four books later, but it's okay. So
it is where it is.
Energy in action is the, you know, if you're interested, if that appeals to you, that's the way that's going to be delivered. Now, rays of light are all connected to source, God. They're all vibrations from God. So, you know, however that feels to you, it's just tuning into light, God, you know, energy source, you know, Jesus, you know, experiencing through the vibrations that way. And it's very, very powerful.
So tell us, as we're wrapping up, tell us, being a member in your group means this. What exactly, you know, you said earlier, well, if you're struggling with this, that's where I can help you. So who is it that would show up and say, hey, Sherrianne, I really need some help?
Well, I've got all different, you know, I've got the Energy in Action's my 10th book. So I've got, and the last four books have cleanse. It seems to be my signature. That's a place to start. But in the membership, where once a week, what you get is I teach yoga twice a week live, if that works for you. I do emotional processing every yoga class. That's where I'm different. I take time to process what you feel. The other thing that you're going to get is once a week, one evening, one daytime slot, where we just sit for 30 minutes and I walk people through a cleanse online on Zoom. You can keep your camera off. You don't have to show your face. We are muted because talking can interfere. It's not a time for us to talk. It's a time for us to feel. So that's my role. If you need talking, that's where therapy comes in. But for me, it would just be guiding you through feeling. I'm talking. You can hear me guiding you. Right. And you can chat. Put yourself in the chat to say, this is coming up, whatnot, if you choose to, but that's up to you. So that's what I do, a weekly, I call guided cleanses. And then I have my certification that's launching. So if you're like a professional or a coach or a therapist, or just a person who wants to, it goes beyond the book, where I really tell you what I'm doing behind the scenes with cleanse, why it works, what the science is, how to apply. And it's just going to make you really, it's a tool you can add on to anything. Like if you're a teacher, you could start your day with a 10-minute cleanse in the classroom with students. You could do cleansing before they take a test. You could do cleansing if there's a lot of behaviors creeping up and anxiety and tension and gossip or hurtful things, bullying. I would say that there's not enough feeling happening. These are all signs of reactivity. So get trained. Don't do it on your own. You got to get trained, because I'm going to. So the training includes 8 weeks of me live just with my trainees, so they can ask questions and practice and say, hey, how do I use this at work? Blah, 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 whatever. But my mission is just to get everybody feeling.
Yes,
people feeling.
And we have it. We have just shut it down. We're all born with it. At some, I've been working with Yak Ping Tsak's caring anger, his setup of neuro responses, and the idea that as mammals, we're born with this. Mm-hmm. In circumstances, we choose to shut it down because it seems, well, now when you're a child, there are times where it is a survival mechanism that you have to shut those things. You're teaching people how to bring that back up and how to really make a beautiful resource of it as you're connecting with other people and yourself,
and to have fun with it. I mean, you don't have to be so serious. You are allowed to have a break.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, we don't even process. My son just graduated, and I really had to make an effort to be present during the actual graduation itself, because I'm thinking about all the things that need to happen afterward. Where is this guest? What's happening over there? What needs to be taken care of? When I've been part of this 18-year process, I want to enjoy it. It's important for me to be here. I want to be in the joy and feel the joy of that moment, instead of being so far in the future that I missed it. I think that's how most people get married. They miss their own wedding because they're so far in the front of the
room. I agree. You do. You miss it. I mean, I think of cleanse as the pause. It's the pause. It forces me to pause in my day. Cause I'm like you, I'll just keep going.
Just keep running forward. And then you're missing the good stuff. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, Sherrianne, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for all this valuable work. I can see this being super valuable. I work a craft model, an invitation to change model. This would be a nice extra piece to have in there because it really is. How do I feel my way through this situation when I'm sure it will be disastrous if I have feelings? When what you and I both know is if you're able to have those feelings, you can release them and go on to the better ones rather than staying stuck in that trigger. So thank you so much. We will put all your links down below. Really appreciate all your hard work on this and looking forward to when you start up your training program.
Oh, thank you so much.
You, beloved listener, are creative, resourceful, and whole. Do you want to add more purpose to your sober journey? Do you want to make room for the new and make your dreams a reality? Apply today for a dream session. Go to tanyajoya.com. That's TanyaGioia.com and apply today. Let's get you dreaming about your new purpose.